Let's look together at Proverbs chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 23, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter, so just five verses, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. If you're physically able, would you mind standing with me out of public respect for the Scriptures and also to refresh our minds just a little bit before you're seated for a little bit? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes rather look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Father, tonight as we look at this passage, help me, please, to be able to clearly explain what it says and why it matters to these, your people. I pray, dear Father, that if there's something specific, some application, that it would be beneficial for someone to hear. I pray that you'd put it on my mind so that I know to speak it. Lord, help me to say only those things which would be beneficial to the people who have gathered together tonight or are watching via the live stream right now. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly asking your power on this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for standing. Please be seated. When I think of the book of Proverbs, I think of it as a book of wisdom, of wise sayings. And most of the time, when you're reading through the book of Proverbs, you'll get what I oftentimes refer to as one-liners. That is, just quick, we call it sometimes quippy sayings that are true. For instance, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, that is just a quick one-verse statement that lets you know a truth, a wise truth that God wants us to understand, that if I'll give a soft answer, then it will help diffuse situations, as opposed to if I respond to a situation in anger, what that does. Try it while you're driving sometime. You do something that you shouldn't do. You veer towards somebody, or you pull out and somebody else has to slow down, and you can tell by the look and the movement of their mouth or the gesture that they give to you through the window that they're not pleased with what you do. Well, you can, our natural tendency is to immediately defend ourselves, whether it's out loud or just to ignore, you know. So there we pull out in front and they get upset and we go psh and keep on driving. Well, what that person does to the psh that we give to them is to explode even more. I mean, that makes them even more angry. But I will tell you that if you do something and you know you did something that you shouldn't have done, and somebody else was inconvenienced, and they come up beside you and look over, if you go, instantaneously, it changes everything. They may go, but it's because they don't know how else to respond. That's not what they're expecting. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's just a wise, quippy saying. And so most of the book of Proverbs is that way. It's several proverbs that are given to us for wisdom. Proverbs 4 is built a little bit differently, specifically the passage that we just read, because all five of the verses that we just read are all connected to each other, though they carry several different thoughts. Now, the tendency with the book of Proverbs is to think of it, well, that is a very practical book. And it is. And I appreciate practicality. But we think to ourselves sometimes, well, practical book, that's on the level of like teenagers or young people. While we who have gathered here tonight on a Tuesday night in a revival meeting, we want something of depth, something that is the meat of the word, and something that we'll walk away, or when we hear it, we go, oh, wow. That's incredible. That philosophy, that thinking, that incredible brilliance, that was worth coming for. Well, a couple things. If I'm preaching and you're looking for brilliance, you've come to the wrong service at the wrong time, I will tell you. But another problem with that way of thinking is that to think that what God in his depth, which God is deep, has given to us is not practical is a mistake. That is, everything that God is and he reveals to us, and the deepest truths of what we find in God himself, are all supposed to be worked out practically in our lives. In other words, it has a way that it comes out, and that's what Proverbs does. The character of God is revealed in the wisdom that God gives out. And you can see this all the way through the book of Proverbs, but I love Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23 and following because of its practicality, yes, but because of the wisdom that is in it, how much it will impact your life, my life. In the scriptures, there are probably, well, I can think right off the bat of three different passages that have impacted my life in a significant way that I know of. Now, there are probably a number of others that have impacted me. I'm not even aware of their direct impact. But there are three that I can name right off the top of my head that have impacted me significantly. Matthew 22, in a passage there, which we'll not preach tonight. Psalm 46. And then the third top would be Proverbs chapter number 4, verses 23 and following. Let me explain to you why. By just showing you what the Bible says, we'll see how it applies to our life tonight, and then our time will be finished. All right? Proverbs 4, specifically verse number 23. The Bible says to you, it's an implied you, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, it's Tuesday night, and some of us get a little bit tired, and I understand that. So I'm going to invite a little bit of conversation. So don't be afraid to answer out loud if I ask you a question, all right? The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What is the it referring to in Proverbs 4:23? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, talking about the heart. All right, so it'd be important to know what the heart is because the Bible says I'm supposed to keep my heart with all diligence because out of it, out of my heart, come the issues. Issues have to do with the goings forth. That is, the decisions that you make. Now, I think most everybody in here already knows this, but let me just state it so that it's easily understood. Your life and my life is not made up of wants, wishes, hopes, and desires. Our lives are made up of the choices that we make. That is, the issues of our lives, the goings forth, the decisions. The decisions I make today ultimately are what drive me to where I end up in the future. You know this, right? So that if somebody says, oh, I really want to be a millionaire, that doesn't make them become a millionaire. They have to make some significant choices. Or a person who wants to go into any vocation. Somebody who wants to be a doctor doesn't become a doctor just because they've always dreamed, desired, wished, wanted. Oh, I've always hoped to be a doctor. Well, you can want, wish, hope, dream, desire all you want to, but unless you start making some choices and decisions, there's no way you'll become a doctor vocationally, right? You with me thus far? I mean, you wouldn't be interested in having somebody do surgery on you that wanted to be a heart surgeon unless they went through all the schooling, right? Yeah, that's the way I feel about it as well. Okay, so choices that you make are what determine where you end up. And what Proverbs 4:23 is saying is the choices that you make depending on what comes out of your heart. So then it becomes pretty important what my heart is, because my heart is going to lead to my choices, and my choices is going to determine where I end up. So then, what biblically, when God's talking about the heart, what is he talking about? Well, let me invite some conversation here. When God talks about the heart here in Proverbs, what do you think all is involved in that? Okay, desire certainly would be. Your will, I would say, which is the same thing. Your will. What did you say? Your mind. All right. So you guys nailed all three in the first two people. That's pretty impressive. The mind, the will, the emotions. If you look through Proverbs, it defines for you. The Bible defines for you what the heart is. It is encompassed in your mind, the way that you think, your will, your desires, and your emotions. Okay, now look. Do you know anybody or have you ever met anybody that makes their decisions based primarily on their emotions? Yes or no? Do you know teenagers? Okay, now I'm giving teens a hard time, but I oftentimes joke with teenagers about making decisions based on their emotions, and the emotions of teenagers jump up and down pretty quickly with both guys and girls, depending on how many energy drinks they have consumed in the last 24 hours. It can be significant. Okay, so your emotions are involved in your heart. Your will, that is, your desires. That's a part of your heart as well. And then and probably most importantly is our mind or our thinking. All of this makes up your heart, or the Bible also refers to it as your soul. It's the real you, the person you are on the inside. And here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, starting back where we began at the end of the verse, the Bible talks about, hey, out of your heart come the issues or the decisions of life, which is ultimately going to end up taking you to what you become, what you are. All of that happens as a result of what comes into your heart, so that Proverbs 4:23 says in this wise saying, hey, protect, guard your mind, guard your desires, protect your emotions, protect your heart. And then the Bible says, I love this, with all diligence. Now, here's the reason why. Stick with me. This is not a message that is designed. This is not a passage that was written primarily to teenagers, though it may apply to young people. It is for a person of every age, regardless of where you are in your life. I am to, as a 40-year-old man, I am to protect and guard with diligence. Do you know what I mean if I say tenacity? With tenacity, on purpose, I am supposed to protect or guard my heart, my mind, my desires, my emotions. Why? Because the way that I think, feel, and desire will ultimately determine what I choose, and my choices will push me into what I become. So I need to be real careful about the things that I allow to affect the way that I think. Now, here's why it's so important that you do this with diligence. Because though you may have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and your spirit is saved and your soul belongs to God, you still have flesh that has a bent towards that which is evil. And you and I will until the day this robe of flesh, we drop and rise to meet our Savior in the skies. We will have a bent. And if we don't on purpose protect our thinking, then our natural tendency is to always go down the wrong path. The heart, after all, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Those who do what they follow their heart, they do what they want to do just naturally on their own. It may seem right, but the end thereof is the way of death. The Bible repeatedly warns us about this. Okay, so in the next several minutes, let me just give you some practical suggestions about this protecting of our hearts. By the way, in Matthew 22, the passage I mentioned earlier that is at the top of the list of impact in my life, in Matthew 22, the passage that I absolutely love is when Jesus interacts with a lawyer, a Pharisee. This Pharisee comes to Jesus and he says to the Lord Jesus, what is the most important commandment in the law? Of all the commandments in the law, what's the most important one? And the Lord Jesus responds by saying, the first and great commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. Another passage says, with thy strength. And then he says, the second like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else that's supposed to happen in your life comes out of this relationship. But it's interesting that here it talks about our love being with all our heart, soul, mind, because all of that is part of the heart here that we're talking about in Proverbs. So that there is something right and good that's supposed to be on the inside of me. But what we learn both here and also in Colossians chapter 2 is that by worldly thinking and by the influences around us, it is possible that our minds can get taken for spoil, that we can begin to think in a way that is incorrect, that is improper, which will ultimately determine the choices we make being improper, which will take us down a path we don't want to go. So the deal is, at the very beginning, what we do is, I need to protect with tenacity, on purpose. I need to be careful about what I allow to influence the way that I think. Now, most practically, this is going to come about in two specific areas. Number one, outside influences. There are going to be outside influences that can affect the way that I think, my emotions, and my desires. Help me. What would be the two ways that outside influences could impact the way that I think, feel, or my desires? What would be the two entrances into me? Well, you're giving me specifics of what could, and that is true, those could, but there has to be an entrance into me in order for it to affect. Okay, so you have, my mom used to say, the eye gate, the ear gate, and she probably got it from somebody else that you got it from too. But the eyes and the ears, which is true, right? Okay, so just hang with me just for a second. Please don't tune me out thinking, Brother Tim, don't all of a sudden become Pharisee on me. Stay with me just for a second. The things that I watch and the things that I hear are going to affect the way that I think. They will. So somebody says, well, Brother Tim, I've been saved for 45 years. I think that I'm strong enough to pretty much be able to handle anything that the world can throw at me. Okay, now listen. Please, I say this kindly, but I must say it firmly. You weren't meant to handle it. We were meant to guard against it. So the deal is when we allow the outward influences to impact the way that we think, if we're not careful about what it is that we allow to come through the eyes and through the ears, TV, music was mentioned, friends could be mentioned, magazines could be mentioned, philosophies could be mentioned, there's all kinds, education could be mentioned, there's all kinds of things you could mention that they, in and of themselves, are not necessarily intrinsically wrong. In other words, television in and of itself is not wrong, music is certainly not wrong, friends are not wrong, reading is not wrong, going to school is good, it's not wrong, none of these things are in and of themselves wrong, but what the Bible is saying is, look, I'm supposed to protect or guard the kind of influences that come into me. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, Brother Tim, this is far too practical for a Tuesday night of a revival meeting, but I am telling you that the deepest truths that you and I may want to hold dear to our hearts will be taken for spoil if we're not careful about what we allow to come in and affect the way that we think. In other words, we'll lose a taste for that which is right and good and should be the very center of our being. The love of God in our hearts can be removed if we don't guard with diligence that which comes in to affect us. Now, my guess is, I don't know anybody's heart, I don't know anybody's home situation. My guess is that most of you have already at some time in your life made a decision about what you're going to and what you're not going to. And it's easy for any of us to slip into it, and we need to be reminded. We need to think through it. What is it that I'm allowing to affect my life? If I am watching or listening to people for entertainment purposes take the name of my God in vain, and it just becomes a natural thing for me to listen to, yet that's not healthy for me. If I'm allowing the world's philosophy to be shoved down my throat, or certainly shoved down the throat of my family, then that's not wise. That's not following the proverbial saying to keep my heart with all diligence. So yes, but I'm going to guess that most in here, maybe not everybody, but most of us have probably already come to a place where we say, all right, there's some things that are not going to come into my life. By the way, Just kind of as an aside, do you still have your Bible open? Look down at verse number 26, because verse number 26 gives a practical way for this to take place. Let me make sure I'm telling you the right verse. Verse number 26, I am. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Okay, I love this verse. Now, it uses some old English, so it's words that we don't use. If you read Shakespeare, then you'd know what he's saying, but most of us don't on a regular basis. So let me just use ponder, think about. Ponder the path of thy feet. In other words, think about what's coming, the path of your feet. Think about what's coming, and then it says, let all your ways be established. In other words, decide now what you're going to do in those situations. You want to talk about good advice? Like, for instance, if tonight while I'm preaching you say, you know what, I've grown lax, or there's some things coming in my ears, I watch some things, I look at some things, I'm on the internet, I'm doing some things that just aren't right, I know it's I know it's not, I need to stop. And that's as far as it gets. Then all things being equal, before too long, you'll fall right back into it. That's why the Bible says, ponder the path of your feet. In other words, think about when you struggle with it, when it's a deal, when you're tempted towards it, and then decide ahead of time, decide now, what am I going to do when the situation comes? What a tremendous help that is. Okay, so those outward influences. But let me tell you where I think probably most of us would deal with this a little bit more. And if you're finding it hard, if you're zoned out right now, this is a time to come back in, because this is why I think God put this on my heart for tonight. Because outward influences can affect the way that I think and the way that I feel, the desires I have, and all of that will affect me, and I need to choke out the things that are wrong. I need to let in the things that are right and good and block out with tenacity on purpose, keep out things that shouldn't be a part of my life, that aren't according to the way and will of God. Thinking on things that are pure, honest, just, lovely, those things. But where I think most of us struggle a little bit more with this is not so much the outward influences, but more the inward attitudes. Because it's not just outside influences that affect the way that we think, our hearts, our minds, our will, our emotions. It can also be stuff that is already inside of us. Things like anger or unforgiveness. Things like bitterness. Things like discouragement. Things like regret about the past. Depression that can grip our hearts and cause us not to think correctly. It causes us to make decisions based upon those things instead of things that are right and good, those things that ought to be at the center of us. And if you're anything like I am, and the reason why this passage is so important to me, you may be thinking to yourself, but Tim, I want freedom from those things. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to have past failures grip me. But it's not, how do I block that out of my life so that I can be filled with the love of God, so that I can think on things that are right and good? How does this happen? All right. I get it. I get the battle. If you're an introspective person at all, then you know what it is to battle with stuff on the inside that grips at you and takes your mind, your will, your emotions off of that which is eternal and right and good. And you can spend hours just really eating up on the inside. So how do you get out of it? Well, here the Bible does tell us to keep our hearts, to guard them with diligence because of the importance of our hearts. Let me share with you what somebody shared with me when I was a young person, when I was a teenager, in fact, that has continued to impact my life since the day it was shared to me about this truth and how it makes a difference. See, here's the deal. When you and I deal with inward attitudes, with unforgiveness, with bitterness, with discouragement, depression, with past failures that are gripping at us, with thoughts of the mind from things that I may not watch anymore, but it's still there. When we deal with that, when we acquiesce, when we allow for that temptation, when it happens, it is always about me. Why am I depressed? Because of how something has affected me. Because of a relationship that I can't control. Because of some trouble that has happened to me. Wrong thinking. Discouragement. Bitterness. What they did to me. And it's all about me. And here's our mistake sometimes. Sometimes we think about these things and we come to God and say, God, please deliver me. God, deliver me from this. Please, I don't want this. I don't want to be bitter anymore. God, help me. God, I don't want to be depressed anymore. Help me. I don't want to be gripped by the sin of my past. God, help me, please. And what happens is we live, even though we want deliverance from it, we're still talking about me. So the battleground for our mind, as long as Satan can keep us thinking about ourselves, man, he's got us.
Right.
So what do you do? Well, you have to retrain your mind, your heart, to instead of thinking about me, thinking about others.
Amen.
How do you do it? Well, let me tell you what somebody told me. It's something that's called trigger prayers, what I call it. Trigger prayers, where every time I struggle with discouragement, depression, or if I struggle with thoughts of the past or mistakes that have been made, immediately it's like pulling a trigger and I pray for three things. Firstly, I pray for somebody who I know who's not saved that they'll get saved. I pray for them by name. Somebody that I know by name. I pray, God, please help this person. They've not trusted in you. Would you please save them? I pray for them. Secondly, I pray for somebody who's saved but not living right, that God will get a hold of their heart. God, you know this person, they used to follow you, they're not doing right. God, please get a hold of their heart. And then thirdly, I pray for someone who's saved and living right, doing right, serving God, that God would bless them in the ministry. And that, those are the three things that I pray for. I don't pray for myself to get out of it. I immediately go to praying for these three things. And obviously, sometimes we can get gripped with this when we're around other people, so it's not like you can fall to your knees and lift up your hands. So in your hearts, I mean, when you're shopping, and all of a sudden the inside grips, the discouragement, the depression, the guilt over past failures that have been made right, whatever it is, it grips, then immediately I begin to ask the Lord, just in my heart as I'm walking, Lord, you know that person. Would you please save them? God, you know the person that I live in right. Please get a hold of their heart. Father, those people that are doing right, I pray that you bless them. Help them, please, as they, and by name, you just pray for them. Okay, now let me give you my story. Let me tell you what happened to me when if I can be very transparent with you. When I was in high school, the reason why this was such a help to me was in the battle of the mind about thinking things that are right and pure and good. And I was dealing with this, and I didn't want it, but I was battling with it. And so I began these trigger prayers whenever I'd have a thought that was inappropriate, improper, that immediately I'd begin to pray for these three things. And what happened to me is for 2 weeks, if I remember it correctly, it was a long time ago, but for 2 weeks, the battle was on. I would no more get done saying amen in my heart, and I get whacked with another thought. So I'd start again. Father, you know this person. Go through the trigger prayers. And for 2 weeks, the battle raged. And then one day, I could take you to the spot. It was in school. I was walking down the hallway, and I went, hey, it's been all day, and I haven't struggled with that. And wham, I got hit again, and I had to kind of restart the whole process. But I mean, sincerely, after a couple weeks of this, then the weight, the cloud lifted, and God gave victory because of purposely guarding our hearts. Okay, now let me tell you something. For those of you who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have something precious that ought to be at the center of who you are. You have something that is eternal. You have God Himself living in you, and the love of God should be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. But Satan knows, while he may not be able to have your soul, that if he can get your mind, then he'll have your choices. And if he has your choices, he has your life. So may I just give you, it's just a proverb. I mean, it's just a proverb. Probably meant for teenagers. Just a proverb. But something that God says is pretty important for us. Guard your heart. Protect from outward influences. Protect from inward attitudes. Those things that could overtake and will affect you thinking in an improper way. Well, you say, Brother Tim, what if I don't know? What if I don't know if it's a good influence or a bad influence? All right. We happen to have been given something that helps us to know what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says about itself, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Forgive me, my tongue is tied tonight. When the Bible talks about letting the word of God dwell in you richly, the idea is let it umpire your life. An umpire, you know, the guy who stands behind the catcher and says, yeah, strike, that's a good pitch. Ball, not a good pitch. Good pitch, bad pitch. That's what the word of God is supposed to do in us. Yeah, that is a good thing to have in your life. So here's the deal. You're watching something, you're not sure if it's a good help to you or a bad help to you. God, are you pleased with this? Does this match up to what would be pleasing to you? Is this honest, pure, just, lovely? Is it okay? Or you say, Brother Tim, we couldn't watch very much. Well, that may be, but remember at the beginning of the week how we talked about being equipped to live for eternity? So you have to kind of decide, do you want to run to win or not? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. This is not what we're living for. Oh, not that we don't enjoy the things that God gives to us. This is not about us. Let's be as sour as possible, as miserable as possible. Not hardly. But God's the one who invented enjoyment. And there's plenty of it. So guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. Protect from outward influences, inward attitudes. And may this impact our lives tonight when we go home and tomorrow morning and how we spend the day. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you. And I confess, I know that this is a very simple message from a simple, straightforward passage. But Father, I know me well enough to know that it's something that I can struggle with, even though I've preached the verse dozens of times. And so I think maybe some other people might struggle with it as well. For those who are dealing, Father, with being gripped by outward influences that are not according to your word and they're affecting their minds, help them to take you at your word and believe that what you say about it is correct. For those who are struggling with inward attitudes, things that are on the inside, whatever form it may take, bitterness or discouragement or despair, the grippings of past failures or thoughts that are improper, God, I pray that you would please help them to see tonight the importance of following the way to escape that you've provided so that we can guard our hearts with diligence and let in and keep that which is right and good and pure, and to keep out those things which would hinder us from making right choices in life and following you with everything that we have. Equip us by this, dear God, to live for eternity, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, just quickly, before I finish my prayer and before we're dismissed from the service, as Pastor will come in a moment, let me just ask briefly,